WTBQ. Hello and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM, as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And we're getting a little bit of a late start this morning. Thanks for hanging in there with us. And I hope you're healthy. I hope you're wonderfully wise and healthy and life is going well and you have everything you need in life. I think it's great that we're getting older and people are doing so much more as they get older. You know, 60 used to be really old, 70 was really old, 80 was forget it, but now these days people are doing wonderful things at those ages and really having wonderful lives, new careers. The other day I took my daughter to the prom and there was a woman there just standing around taking pictures with the other moms, and she was somebody's grandmother, and I don't know her age, but she was certainly elderly. And I looked down and she had these bright blue fingernails, and I said, good for you, that looks great. And she goes, you know, I guess I should grow up. And I said, no, don't ever grow up. And that's exactly what my guest is going to talk about today, that we don't need to grow up, we just need to grow happy and continue to grow. Dennis Kravitz has written a wonderful new book called Sound Mind in a Sound Body, Live Long and Live Healthy, and he's going to give us tips for living long, healthy, and cognitive, which is a very key part of what he does in his book. He is a psychologist, and he knows all about this, and he's a health educator, and he's a speaker, and we're going to talk to him right now. I want to welcome Dennis Kravitz to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Shannon. How are you?
I'm terrific, thanks. This is really an important thing, isn't it, to stay thinking young, like that woman said to me. You know, like sheepishly, she kind of said, I should grow up, and I said, no, don't grow up. And that's kind of what you're saying. If we think old, we're going to be old. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's very true. You really have to sort of trick your brain into thinking you're younger than you actually are. That's a key thing that a lot of people do. If I do a lot of surveys, and I ask people, if you were at a high school reunion, do you think most of the people there are your same age or they're younger than you or older than you? Well, actually, the people who live longer tend to think that the people who are there who are actually their same age are actually older than them. So it's part of tricking your brain to think that you're younger than you actually are.
Well, and of course, you know, the naysayers would say, you can't do that. Your age is your age. And that's, you know, regardless, you're going to get old at a certain point. But do you think that the brain maybe convinces the body otherwise?
Oh, absolutely. Oh. It's all linked together. A person who thinks they're old, for example, may cut back on physical activity. They may not do much exercise because they say, well, I'm too old for that. Well, that's just because they haven't been exercising regularly. On the other hand, if you have a positive attitude and say, I can do that, I used to do that, I'm going to continue doing that, that's one of the things that's going to make you younger, that attitude, and then you will be able to do the physical stuff more because you believe that you haven't aged.
Uh-huh. So,
it's all tied in together. It's people, unfortunately, deteriorate a lot. And it's self-caused. They really can control the system and make it better.
So they kind of think, well, I got to a certain point, that must mean I'm old and elderly, and so therefore I've kind of got to act it. But the key sounds to be is what you believe. If you believe you're younger, I think I once heard Deepak Chopra say, if you could believe you could grow another arm, you could, but none of us believe we could. So I mean, I don't know if it goes that far, but certainly what you're saying is if you believe you're younger, your body will comply.
Right, and you have to deliver the goods, as I usually say to people. You can't remain passive and say, well, I'm a physically fit person. You have to get out there and start trying to do these things, ramp up your physical activities if you've been relatively inactive. You don't want to be too hasty, or you will pull muscles and strain tendons and other things, which will make it difficult to continue. But once you get in the groove, if you will, and are used to doing it, it's really not that different than being in your 20s. You are not too old to exercise and do many of the other things that you did that when you were younger. It's just that people curtail these activities and then think that they're too old.
So you're kind of saying if we curtailed them in our 20s, it would have kind of been the same way. And I say kind of because our bodies do change and things do. You know, certain things aren't as easy as they were. I mean, losing weight is one thing that's much easier when you're in your 20s than in your 40s or 50s or 60s and beyond, right? So, or is that just something we believe?
It is something that people believe. Again, there's really no physiological reason why you can't walk at the same rate that you did when you were in your 20s. Now, I'm not talking about people of extreme ages who may have handicaps or things like this. I'm talking about someone who's 50 or 60 or 70 who's still healthy and mobile and so forth. There's no reason why they can't walk around as much as a college student could. It's just that they've curtailed their activities by choice and now feel that they're too old to do the things that they once did and still could do if they would just ramp up and build up to it. One of the most interesting studies that I was involved with in a secondary way, advising the researchers, took people in their 90s who were not real mobile. Many of them used walkers, canes. They could get around, but just barely. And we did simple little weight exercises with people, put little one-pound, two-pound weights on the end of their legs and had them do simple leg raises, and that built up to doing more walking. And long story short, more than half of the people ditched their walkers and canes after a couple of weeks of doing this because it was just a matter of not using those muscle sets, and they were able to get back again and be more active.
Uh-huh. So it's really a matter of that old saying, you use it or you lose it, right?
Very true.
Okay, so we know that exercise is very key, and it doesn't have to be continual, you know, at the gym 3 hours a day. You're saying probably, an hour a day of exercise as opposed to sitting 24/7 will do it, right, for exercise?
Hour is definitely sufficient, mm-hmm. but what the research has actually shown is that it can be less than that. If you're doing lighter exercise, like walking at a normal pace, you would need 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, to get the minimum that's required. If you did something more vigorous, which would be more like jogging as opposed to walking, you could get away with 20 minutes of exercise 3 or 4 times a week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So those are the minimums that are required.
Okay, so that's one of the ways to stay psychologically and physically young. What? And we know about the positive mental attitude, don't act your age. How about working and things like that? I mean, people get to a certain age and they think, well, that's it for work. Does their brain kind of get old when that happens?
Oh, absolutely. I've done a great deal of management coaching as well as counseling people on healthy living issues during my career. And one of the things which I think so devastating is that I see people when they retire, whatever age that might be, and it could still be a relatively young age, 55, 60, some people are already retired, but they age in some cases like 20 years in the first 2 years of retirement. And the thing that I notice that goes first and foremost is the brain itself, and they're not cognitively active. And many of the people that I coached were dynamos in the workplace, very, very active, meetings going on all day long, phone calls to return, emails to return, and so on and so on. Very busy people. Now they sit around in their homes. They are retired, and they long for retirement. Now they stare out the window. They don't have anything to do. And that causes brain problems. It actually will cause the brain to deteriorate, increases dramatically the incidence of Alzheimer's and dementia. Alzheimer's and dementia are, if we look at the 85 and up group, the oldest age group that the Census Bureau tracks, 40% of people in that age group will develop or commonly have right now some form of dementia or Alzheimer's. So it's a pretty prevalent condition, but people can bring it on by not using their brains as much, particularly after they retire. People who have white-collar jobs generally are being very active, and most of us these days do have white-collar jobs of one sort or another, professional, managerial, and that keeps the brain very healthy. But once a person gets into retirement, there's no need for them to learn new things every day. There's no need for them to stretch the brain, rewire the brain. We call this brain plasticity, and so the brain can deteriorate.
So it's like a muscle. It can deteriorate if you don't use it. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the things that you can do to use your brain so you don't get old and that you don't age and you have a great, fun, long life. Stay where you are. We're talking with Dennis Kravitz, and we're talking about ways to stay young. Stay where you are, and we'll be back here in just a few on WTVQ.
Gentlemen! WTVQ.
Hello and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford. Don't go anywhere because we're talking about you today. We're talking about your health, living longer, happier, and having a productive life. And a lot of it is, as my guest Dennis Kravitz is telling us today, a lot of it is about convincing yourself that you deserve that. He's the author of A Sound Mind is in a Sound Body, Live Long, Live Healthy. He is also an educator, a psychologist. He speaks, he writes, he has a website, which you should all go to, www.longlife4me.com. If you're in the car, it's on Shannon's Corner, so just there, and there, click there, and there's a hot link to it. And before we took a break, we were talking about some of the things that you can do in your mind to do, physically, to keep your mind healthy. Aside from basically things like reading and things like that, what can we do to use our mind like a muscle and make it stronger?
Well, there's a wide variety of things that we can do. Puzzles are an excellent way to rewire the brain. Mm-hmm. And research has shown that people who are in a continual learning mode throughout life, their brains are most able to rewire themselves. So later on in life, cognitive decline will not occur. And the person is actually resilient even against minor strokes. The person might have a minor stroke and never even know it because the brain's resilient enough to sort of take over in other functions. So puzzles are a great way, crosswords, cross sticks, cryptograms. There's a wide variety of brain teasers, and they're all excellent for using various skills and learning new things, learning new words, etc. We have a variety of board games and card games, particularly those that involve strategy, or solving puzzles, Scrabble, Jeopardy, Trivial Pursuit, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Many of these have components where we can watch them on TV and play along, or you can play against a computer, or as a board game, you can play against a human being. But they're all excellent ways to learn new things as part of playing the game, and you can have some good fun along the way, too. In addition to those, we can visit museums, zoos, historical sites. And I notice a lot of people, when they visit these types of places, they don't do any reading of those little signs in the corners. But you should actively try to do that. Learn something new each day that you didn't know before. Engage some of the guides or employees of a zoo or a museum by asking them questions. And you can learn that way, too. So you come away from the experience not only enjoying yourself, but learning some new things. And that's really the key to keeping the brain resilient and less likely to have Alzheimer's or dementia in your later years, is if you use it very actively when you're younger and you keep doing that into your retirement years. Mm.
So passive activities are not so good. TV is a passive activity. You sit there and you don't really do much. You don't interact. So you need something that uses your brain to think a little bit outside of the box, right? To kind of, again, like a muscle, you need to exercise it and do something that's just a little bit harder than it is completely easy. I mean, obviously, when you go to the gym, you do something that's a little harder all the time to get those muscles strong. So one of the things you're saying is that passive activity doesn't really work. You also say that resist mobility aids. What do you mean by that? Those things like walkers and things like that?
Well, if people absolutely have to have those, obviously because of an injury, right, or a stroke, then they do need them. But I see a lot of people in the grocery stores and shopping malls that are going around in these motorized scooters, and they're doing this at younger ages. And yeah, the only reason why they're in those things is not because of a stroke or an accident, but because they're heavy, perhaps, or just lazy. They just don't want to walk around. And the proof of it is, if you watch them go back to their cars, they're walking around when they get in and out of their cars, which shows that they can walk. But they're using these aids too early in life.
Right.
And it causes the muscles to atrophy. The bones will start to shrink up, makes the person more vulnerable to osteoporosis and other things. And this starts them on a downward spiral. Again, as you said earlier, you have to use it or lose it, and that's very much true here with our muscle sets. So we don't want to rely upon those things unless we absolutely have to because of a stroke or a serious accident and we are no longer able to get around. But I would say probably 8 out of 10 people using these scooters have not had that situation happen to them. And the TV advertising encourages them in some cases to get one for free by calling this number or what have you. And it's really the wrong advice. They should try to exercise more so they won't need something like that in the first place.
Yeah, no, there's a tendency. I mean, obviously, you're right. If you need it, it's one thing. For a condition, that's a whole different thing. But I know what you mean. I have seen the people in the grocery store that you know can walk easily. You see them walk in and out, as you say. They just get a little lazy. And that laziness is something we need to avoid, because that also becomes a habit. And a lot of this is habits, isn't it? If we have the habit to stay fit, to use our mind, we continue to do that. So if we keep using that good habit as opposed to the bad habit, eventually it'll pay off, right?
Very, very, very true. It's many things. If you're a continuous learner in school and enjoyed learning new things, generally speaking, you're going to have that same curiosity later on in life. You'll enjoy reading things, learning new things, maybe taking some continuing education courses or workshops in your area. These could be on anything you can think of, hobbies or other things. They don't have to be more technical academic courses, but friendly things, local history in your area, etc. But people who are in that mindset, they have that as a habit, if you will, are likely to continue it throughout life. And of course, my challenge is to get people who don't do those things to try and do them more, to change unhealthy habits and reduce the risk of cognitive decline.
Do nursing homes do some of this? Do they have puzzles and interactive games that people can use? And if not, they probably should, right? They should incorporate it more.
They have lots of these activities for people to participate in. They take trips to museums and zoos and things like this. It is very much a normal part of their activities. Nursing homes, not so much as the assisted
retirement
living centers.
Right.
But the nursing home people are more confined, but they do have games and other activities, reading materials for those people who are able to use them. And again, the assisted living centers, where people are a little more mobile,
right,
they do a lot of trips in addition to a lot of activities right there at the residence.
Do you think that we should raise the retirement age?
It's I think all of us should think of never retiring.
Yes, I agree.
Or really, if you're full-time job is too demanding, then at least do part-time work or do volunteer work, you know, with a church, with a charity, with a zoo or a museum. A lot of the people that we see in zoos and museums are really not employees. They're called docents, which just means a volunteer. But they become highly expert in certain areas of that zoo or museum, and they can answer any question you could toss at them, just like the employees can. And again, we can become that way by visiting those places and asking questions ourselves or doing some part-time work there as a volunteer later on in life.
Well, I think that everybody, I'm with you, I think everybody should work as long as they can, keep busy, keep active, enjoy life to the last moment, because otherwise I think that moment is going to come way too quick. Give out your website again. We only have about a half a minute. Your new book is A Sound Mind and a Sound Body, Live Long, Live Healthy, and the website is long.
Longlifeforme.com.
Yeah, for me with the number 4, forme.com. It is on Shannon's Corner. Just go to WTBQ, click on Shannon's Corner, and there's a direct link right there to your website. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dennis Kravitz, and I hope everybody takes your advice and goes and gets your book. It's terrific. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us here today. And we do have to wrap it up for today, but until next time, don't forget to make good choices.